A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
This is the IPL Preview Show on TalkSport 2.
Good afternoon to you and welcome to TalkSport 2's weekly look at all the stories from the world of the IPL. The tournament is flying along as there are now less than 20 group matches left. The IPL's a tournament where drama, tension and excitement come along as regularly as London buses. But even by this competition standards, the past weekend was utterly incredible. A game that seemed impossible to win was clinched with balls to spare, while a super over was needed to split one yesterday, and the other match took a super over. As normal, the former England fast bowler Steve Harmison is alongside myself, Andrew McKenna, to guide you through all of it over the next hour. During that time, we'll hear from MS Dhoni, Steve Smith and Owen Morgan, and our mate from South Africa, Neil Manthorpe, will join us to try to find some new words to describe the genes that is Abraham Benjamin de Villiers. It's the IPL show here on TalkSport 2.
The IPL preview show on TalkSport 2.
That's six. Oh, my. My shot. This is Steve Smith at his inventive best.
That's cleared the big side. He wanted him to hit there. A, B, D. Game, set and match to Abraham Benjamin de Villiers. RCB by 7 wickets.
Oh. Seven off the last five, and it's left Chennai Super Kings at 179 for four.
Super duper over.
Great change of pace from Lucky Ferguson.
Game over. Super over to the Knight Riders.
Going. Gone.
Four sixes.
Flies over the head of KL Rahul. That is a triumphant little period for the Mumbai Indians. They always seem to find a way.
There he goes again, Nicholas Pooran. Six more.
So match is tied. Set to go for the super over here in Dubai. Two to win. Oh dear, that little fumble will mean keepers in chance. Oh, brilliant from KL Rahul. He's gathered it. Long enough. Oh, brilliant! Wow.
That can be it. That could be the match-winning save.
Ball toss. Gale goes up. Absolute cracker here.
Oh, I'm sitting here listening to that with a smile on my face, just remembering what an incredible weekend it was. All started on Friday as the Mumbai Indians beat the Knight Riders by 8 wickets in Abu Dhabi. Then on Saturday, in the doubleheaders, the RCB beat the Rajasthan Royals, chasing down the 178 they needed for victory in Dubai. We then had the Delhi Capitals beating the Super Kings in Sharjah, chasing down 180 for victory in that one. And then the Sunday games, the Knight Riders beating the Sunrisers in a super over in Abu Dhabi. And then we had the Kings 11 beating the Mumbai Indians in a double super over match in Dubai. It all means that the Delhi Capitals are the top of the standings with 14 points from their 9 games. Mumbai and RCB both have 12. The Knight Riders now have 10. The Sunrisers, Kings 11, Chennai Super Kings and Rajasthan Royals all have 3 wins, therefore 6 points from their 9 matches. Everybody has played 9 games. Steve Harmison, as I mentioned in the opener, this is a tournament that basically rewrites rules for drama, excitement and whatever. But my God, that was two days worth of cricket that just packed so much in. Those were incredible matches.
It was, absolutely, Mackie. An afternoon to everyone. Yeah, it was amazing. Honestly, it was amazing. We talk about what happened yesterday, but in my notes, I've got magnificent. This game doesn't get any better. This tournament doesn't get any better. Every day I'm thinking, I don't think he can beat that. And I got as far as Munda with AB de Villiers' innings. That's as far as I got. Never mind what happened yesterday. It's been absolutely magnificent. The one thing I will say, and I think it'll be interesting to know from players that have played in this, and I think that's a question for the likes of Ben Stokes, Johnny Bairstow, Josh Butler, the lads further down the line, is how different it is without a crowd. And I'm talking about pressure. We've seen 2 or 3 super overs now. We've seen 2 in one game in this last 24 hours. And I think the pressure of not having the crowd is actually putting different pressure on the players, because everybody seems to be free, relaxed, and playing to their optimum and their maximum ability. And I think what we're seeing is people are expressing themselves a little bit more than what they would have if there's crowd in there. So that makes it even more of a spectacle for people at home. I think it's been absolutely magnificent. And there's been, again, some muddled thinking by some of the players. You can't really predict the decision making. Josh Butler's gone down to 5, we've seen this week. We've seen a super over not sending out Karen Pollard. There's just, you know, sometimes you try and predict what's going to happen, and it surprises you. And I think it surprised me for the better, because it's been a magnificent week in the IPL.
Yeah, I mean, so many stories. Well, we'll talk about the English players, because there's a lot of stories involving the English players. And let's be honest, we did kind of hint at this last week. The Knight Riders, they've made the decision to swap things around a bit. So Owen Morgan is now in charge, leading the side. We'll touch on that later. The interesting one for me, actually, in the Mumbai Indians Kings 11 Punjab game was when we came to the second super over. And this is where you're talking about clarity of thinking. Nobody actually seemed to know exactly what the rules of it were, because, of course, we haven't seen it before. And for anyone that doesn't understand, let's say in an ICC competition, there will be competition rules. This is what happens. And we had Simon Dool yesterday trying to explain the situation. Right, well, okay, if you've batted already, then you can't bat in the second one. But obviously the IPL has its own competition rules, and that's where it gets very confused. I mean, there was the TV shot of Andy Flower getting very heated with one of the umpires, who was clearly under the impression that Pollard couldn't go back out for the second super over, having been non-striker in the first one.
And it's just, you say, the competition rules are baffling when it comes. We've seen it in the World Cup final last year. Nobody, the summer before, they seem to have a different rule for the ICC and a different rule for the IPL. I think if you watch the game before that, I think Danny Morrison mentioned that I think it was on strike. Owen Morgan was on strike, I think. And if the wicket had gone, he did actually say it would go to another super over. And this game was after that. So it just seemed one set of commentators knew down the road and the other set of commentators didn't know later on in the day. So, again, it's the beauty of the IPL. One thing I will say about Andy Flower there, getting heated, it just shows you what different pressure there is on, because his team needed a win. His team desperately needed a win. Kings 11 Punjab don't win, I can't see them catching fourth place. So it was a different pressure, and you could see how much the players care about trying to get their team over the line. And again, Karen Pollard, how he didn't face a ball in that first super over is beyond me. You know, he is your finisher. He's your big six hitter, and I know it's Rohit Sharma and Quentin de Kock, but I'd expected Kieran Pollard to face at least two, if not three, of the first super over balls. But you know, it did go back to have another go, and what a bit of fielding it was by Agarwal to keep Kings 11 from potentially chasing 16 or 17 as opposed to just chasing 11.
As we all know, it's a batsman's game, so we do like to highlight the bowlers when they do well.
Absolutely.
And Lockie Ferguson for the KKR, his first competitive game since March, and gets a fifer. And great timing from the KKR, because at the moment now, they've got that four-point buffer between everyone else beneath them. They're in that fourth spot at the moment. And look, it's taken a few sort of twists and turns for the KKR this season, but maybe, just maybe, it's starting to fall into place for them. And Lockie Ferguson, as we know, is a very fine bowler.
He is. He's a smashing bowler. I'd pace. It gets the men with the boys, the good and the great. When you come up against Pierce, if you've not quite got the ticker and you've not got the game, Pierce will find you out. But it's actually quite interesting. His slower balls did the damage. The little leg cutter was the ones that did the damage, not the quick, fast 145 kilometres an hour. But we did mention this last week, Macca, in this very show, when we were talking about Sunil Narain, if it wouldn't be a bad thing if he couldn't play, because their options would have to be change up and get a fast bowler in. Talked about Andre Russell's knees, didn't we, last week, and say he probably is not as mobile in the field, and he's not bowling as quickly as you would like. So they maybe need that little bit more of a bit more firepower. As well as Owen Morgan being med captain, that changes the dynamics of his thought and his team's thought, because I would imagine Owen Morgan's, if you look at the way England have performed well in the last sort of 3 or 4 years of white ball cricket, he's looked for pace. You know, when you think of Plunkett in the middle, you've got Archer up the top, even Stokes bowls quickly. He likes pace in his side. And with Pat Cummins as well as Lockie Ferguson in that side now, they seem to have a little bit more of a better balance. Brought in Kuldeep Yadav, who has played a lot of IPL cricket. He's an experienced spin bowler. So for me, it gives him a little bit more balance of the side. It gets the Narain away from the top of the order if he doesn't fire, which means Owen Morgan can get in a bit earlier, because we criticised... Well, not so much criticised, but the observation was going in at number six for Owen Morgan is far too low, and they might have just stumbled across a nice little balance of a formula here now, KKR.
And speaking of formulas, we did mention 2 weeks ago that if the Sunrisers wanted to get Kane Williamson up and going, they might need to split up Johnny Bairstow and David Warner at the top of the order. Well, I'll be honest with you, I didn't necessarily expect to see David Warner walking out at second drop, but that's exactly what they did, and fair play to him, actually. At 47 from 33 balls, I mean, as it turns out, 163 wasn't enough to get the job done, but David Warner and number four, you wouldn't have necessarily thought of it, but it seemed to work for them.
No, I'm not a fan of that, to be honest, Macca. I look at that side and I think my best three players are Bairstow, Williamson and Warner. What, 10, 12 odd years ago, Davey Warner burst onto the scene. He came to Durham after his first year of I think, white ball cricket in Australia. Durham got him as a very raw, young 19, 20-year-old. And all he was an opening batsman. You've just seen him as an opening batsman. He's played his whole career as an opening batsman. And I would imagine, you mentioned there, 47 off 33 balls. If I was a Sunrisers sort of coach and management team and thinking, why has he not got... If he's going to not go in first, he's got to go in at least three.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get beaten a super over. Warner faces four more balls. Yeah, Sunrisers win for me there. So I think they might have to rethink and get Warner. If he's not going to go in first, he goes in at number three at the latest. And maybe it was because Williamson's hamstring, he had a little bit of a I think he did it during the first half, didn't he, in the field? I don't think he got into the game with a hamstring injury. He seemed to be fine, and then all of a sudden, I think it was a bit of fielding that he just tweaked his hamstring. And the idea of, because you probably aren't going to run as much in the first six overs, then it's not a bad thing to send Williamson in first. Split Warner and Bairstow up. I'm surprised it was Warner that went down to four. I thought Johnny might have gone to three or four. But this is the way they went. They got to a super over, but I'm sure the management will be thinking, you know what, if Davey Warner had faced four more balls, Sunrisers would have won that match.
Well, the interesting thing is, of course, when he got to the super over, who did he send out and face the first ball? David Warner.
Exactly.
So anyway, so there you go. It is TalkSport 2. It is our IPL show. There's so much to talk about today. We still haven't touched on Sam Curran and Joss Butler yet. So we'll do that when we talk about the English players later on. So many players involved over the last few days. We'll get properly stuck into that. But next, we're going to be joining our South African expert. Neil Manthorpe's going to be joining us to look at AB de Villiers, who once again was just incredible form for RCB on Saturday. A match that the RCB, frankly, didn't look like they were going to win at all. They ended up winning it with balls to spare because AB de Villiers went absolutely potty once again, 55 not out from just 22 balls. Neil Manthorpe has watched a great many of AB de Villiers' innings, and he'll be trying to find some new words to describe the genius that is the man when he speaks to us next here on TalkSport 2.
DAB Plus, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker.
This is the IPL preview show on TalkSport 2.
That's cleared the big side. He wanted him to hit there. ABD. Another one. Three in a row from Abraham. Benjamin de Villiers. Is he going to be Superman? Game, set and match to Abraham Benjamin de Villiers. This is why you want to see him at the crease. And he has done it with a little help from his friends. RCB by 7 wickets.
Match 33 in Dubai. The Royal Challengers of Bangalore taking on the Rajasthan Royals. The Royals posted a more than respectable 177 for 6 and had the RCB at 102 for 3 when Padikkal and Kohli were dismissed in consecutive balls at the end of the 13th over and the start of the 14th. And you thought, well, that's it. Royal Challengers aren't going to make this. However, AB de Villiers, 55 not out from 22 balls, 1-4 and 6 sixes, and they got there. Not only got there, they got there with 2 balls to spare. And I tell you what, let's hear from Jack Callis. Jack Callis is a man who's been around the game of cricket for an awful long time. He's told us that AB is one of the best he's ever seen.
I think the talent that he's got is exceptional, and you know, just watching him bat, he makes the game look very easy. And I think people, you know, there's a lot of people that say, you judge a player on how good he is, would you pay money to go and watch him? And certainly AB de Villiers is one that I would pay a lot of money to go and watch.
Harmy, just to pick up on what Jack Callis was saying, I mean, Jack Callis is one of the best of all time, and he reckons AB de Villiers is one of the best he's played with. That's like the elite of the elite.
Yeah, it's some compliment from some player. I think when you look at the stats, I think the best of all time will be Jack Callis. The catches, the runs and the wickets he took over a 150 test match career tells you that he's in pretty good company at the top if he thinks AB de Villiers is one of the best. I actually played in AB de Villiers' test match debut, and there's a lot of question marks on whether he was going to play or not, because I don't know if you remember in Port Elizabeth in 2004, I think it was, the Mark Boucher got dropped for Solakelli, that's the one, and AB came in the middle order, and you could see straight away that this kid was a special talent. Me and you had a text exchange last week before this 55 of 22 balls, because you got 73 of 33 balls on Monday straight after our show. Yes. And I said, if I was coaching any young kids about how to hit the cricket ball, I'd play them 33 balls for the simple fact he gets in position early. his head's in the right position. He doesn't try and hit the ball too hard, which means he doesn't lose his shape. And once you've got all that in position, the way the bats are and the size of the boundaries are, and I'm talking like a fast bowler here, but it's not hard to hit sixes and fours if you've got stable base, head position, not many moving parts. And that is AB de Villiers' way and his manner. He gets into position early. He gives your bowler basically a clue of what he's trying to do. But because he's got there early, he gives himself a chance to hit the ball. And that's what he did. And he did it brilliantly. The one thing I will say was, Macca, after Monday, he got 73 off 33 balls batting at number four. I don't know about you, but I was throwing things at my TV 3 days later when I see him walking out at number six. I was like, what are you doing? It was like, RCB, what are you doing? Washington Sundar come in at number four. And Shivdu, and I'm like, why is he? He's just got 73 off 33, but common sense prevailed. He comes in at number four against Rajasthan Royals. And like you say, a game they shouldn't have won, end up winning with two balls to go because of the brilliance of AB de Villiers.
Yeah, I mean, you've only got to look at the way that Virat Kohli responds to AB. I mean, Virat Kohli's going to go down as one of the greatest to ever play the game. And I mean, it's the sort of thing you see on social media all the time, is it? Find someone who looks at, insert name here, the way someone else looks at them. And you would use Virat Kohli and AB de Villiers there, because Virat Kohli is clearly 100% in sporting love with AB de Villiers. Well, I tell you what, one thing we do need to touch on, though. Rabada has kind of gone around the world and he's played in a lot of franchise cricket. Imrik Nokir kind of got picked up last year as a result of an injury. He got picked up this year as a result of an injury. I tell you what, that might be one of the best pickups ever. Nokir is absolutely bowling flames at the moment, and he looks to the manner born in this form of the game.
He does, and we've seen him in the winter for, you know, against England. First time I saw him at SuperSport Park out in Pretoria, it was like, wow. I was like, yes, I like this. This guy's not only has he got pace, he's got aggression. And he wants to bowl fast. He wants to hit the pitch. Looks like he's got a big ticket. He looked as though he'd bowl all day for his captain. And he got picked up for, you know, less money than what you would expect the big fast bowlers to go for. And him and Rabada have basically got Delhi Capitals to the top of the log. And they look a formidable outfit. I think they've been quite fortunate, Delhi Capitals, because they've played on pitches which have got a little bit more pace in them than you would in India. But, you know, they've exploited it brilliantly. And I think the two South African opening bowlers have been absolutely brilliant to help the youngish, vibrant, exciting Delhi Capitals to put them in a position to take on what will be, you know, possibly a KKR, if you look at the table now, KKR Delhi semi-final, because 10 points, I can't see the Knight Riders getting caught. So it'll be a case of who finishes in the top four slots, because I think the four that are there at this moment will be the semi-final places.
I'm delighted to say that Neil Manthorpe is with us now. Neil, we've just been talking about AB de Villiers, and look, you've seen a huge amount of his innings over the years. Is there any surprise left in what he does for you? Because it's almost sort of metronomic regularity that he does this.
Yeah, well, that's the surprise, because you're right. I've been watching him do it for 15 years, and it's just, you just keep sort of thinking his powers have got to start waning, but they're not. It's absolutely incredible.
In terms of where he is at the moment, I mean, by the way, I mean mentally rather than physically, obviously, he seems to be in such a great place that, you know, we had all of that thing about the World Cup and all of that. He just seems at home, at peace with his cricket at the moment. And as we all know, someone who's settled, they play better.
That's right. I mean, he's got some scars, you know, from World Cups and things. And it was a wound that he desperately wanted to heal, that made him make himself available just before the World Cup last year. But, you know, and he's still talking about perhaps playing in the next T20 World Cup. I mean, he's clearly not on the wane, is he? he's playing as well as he ever has. Some would say even better. But he's got a burning ambition to win the IPL. He's obviously very, very close to Virat Kohli, and it's something that, that motivates him and drives him. And I think if and when he does eventually come to terms with the fact that he's not going to win a World Cup, and I don't think that is actually a wound that'll ever heal. If it is, it'll be a little, still leave a large scar on his career. But winning the IPL, I think, would be certainly a consolation, very much a second best prize, but it's something that seriously motivates him. And when he, you know, when the run rate climbed to 15 or 16 and over, and he won the game with that half a dozen sixes, you could see afterwards there wasn't so much. It wasn't a sort of joyous celebration, was it? It was just a kind of angry, almost fist clenching, and just. It showed to me that he is seriously, seriously up for winning the IPL. He's a real hero in Bangalore. I mean, I've been there, I've watched him play there, and he's he's as fondly regarded as I think as almost any Indian player. He's run alongside MS Dhoni in Chennai and Kohli himself.
Manners, you talked about that six clinch, the clinch and the fist and the six. Do you think that was a message to the dressing room saying, do not bat me six anymore after what happened 3 years earlier? And do you think... And Manners, do you think having the sort of... just having the IPL in his calendar, do you think that gives him a little bit more chance to... He seems a guy who enjoys life, enjoys relaxing, and because he's only got that in his calendar, he feels more freely about his life, you know, in the way his life is revolving at the moment.
Yeah, it's front and foremost, isn't it? I mean, it's the very centre of his cricket life at the moment. There's still people raising eyebrows in South Africa asking why he's prioritising the IPL and why he did prioritise the IPL over playing for South Africa. And then, of course, you know, his back was too dodgy to keep wicket for South Africa, but now he's keeping wicket for RCB. You're right. He's got a young family. He wants to spend more time with them. He has, of course, had stints at various times in the Big Bash and the Caribbean Premier League, but he's put those all on the back burner now, and the focus is very much on the IPL. But I mean, he said again in a Sunday newspaper a couple of days ago that, or last week actually, that if he's still hitting the ball as well as he is, when the T20 World Cup comes around, and if Mark Boucher wants him and if Graham Smith wants him, and they're two of his best mates, so there's no reason why they wouldn't, then he's certainly up for an international comeback. But I think, you know, you're right. I mean, he does get to spend a lot of time at home, and he does seem very focused, and I think probably quite relaxed as well. The other thing about the bio bubble in the UAE with the various teams is that some of them made much, much better choices than others. You know, there are some teams who are stuck on the 34th floor of a climate-controlled five-star hotel, and they don't get to go out, and they're developing cabin fever. Others have got villas with private beaches, and I think RCB have got it right. So, you know, there are some teams who are really, really feeling the effects of being in this very, very strictly controlled bubble, and there are others who are playing beach volleyball and they've got exercise bikes on their balconies and hardly noticing the fact that they're in a biosecure bubble.
Speaking of that, Neil, obviously back in South Africa at the moment, you've got the same issues with COVID as a great many other parts of the world. There's also an awful lot going on in the world of cricket South Africa. Let's not go there for the time being. But as cricket fans in South Africa, you've got the form of AB. Faf du Plessis got his fourth 50. We were just talking a couple of moments ago. The form of Rabada and Nokia with the ball. Just the performances from the South African players. I mean, really, really some outstanding performances.
And Chris Morris.
Of course,
well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just been a revelation. He's been superb. And that's been RCB's problem over the years, hasn't it? Death bowling. And he's just nailed that. I mean, a couple overs with a new ball, couple at the death, and he's done some terrific work. But, yeah, there's... more interest in South Africa in the IPL this year than at any other time. In fact, we're just all devouring whatever cricket we can watch. And thanks for your summer, by the way. That was magnificent viewing. But, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people who said if the T20 World Cup was just around the corner, then we've got a very, very good core, very, very good spine of cricketers. Quinton de Kock's been full of runs recently as well. So there's half a dozen. And Imran Tahir hasn't even got a game for the Chennai Super Kings. Apparently he's still nailing it in the nets. But it's a pity we have to wait so long for the next T20 World Cup.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Absolutely. Neil, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And we heard from Jack Callis a little bit earlier. Just a little plug here. You've been in conversation with him, and that is tomorrow's Cricket Collective here on TalkSport 2. Neil has been chatting with Jack Callis about all matters to do with international cricket. So that is definitely worth a listen. If you can't hear it tomorrow when it goes out, then of course we will be podcasting it as part of the Cricket Collective, and you'll be able to get it in all the normal ways there. Definitely worth a listen. Neil Manthorpe, our man from South Africa, joining us. It's Steve Harmison and Andrew McKenna with you with the IPL show here on TalkSport 2. Next, we're going to be looking at some of the stories involving the English players out in the IPL.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app and on your smart speaker.
This is the IPL preview show on TalkSport 2.
That sees the end of Ben Stokes. He goes for 15.
Could be gone. Should be gone. Is gone.
Dangerous. Butler gone. 24. 127 for 4 Arad now. And this could be out.
And it is out. Oh, yes. Yes, it is out. A top edge from Sam Curran. Desperately disappointing start for him and for his team.
But Johnny Bairstow will be kicking himself.
It is the IPL show here on TalkSport 2. Andrew McKenna and Steve Harmison taking you through the stories, and we're going to look at some of the English players for the next few minutes, because there's been some real involvement, shall we say, for the last few days. We've been hinting at this for a couple of weeks, but the Knight Riders, let's start with this one. They decided to make a change and let Owen Morgan take over the captaincy. Let's hear from the man himself about why he believes he's been appointed.
Yeah, I think within a team of leaders, and given that myself and Dinesh were titled leaders in captain and vice captain, I think there'll be a smooth transition from here. I think it took a lot of courage for DK, and actually quite a lot of selflessness from him to come forward and recognise that within himself he wanted to focus on his batting for the remainder of the tournament and take the vice captaincy up, and therefore I became captain. It's obviously a very good opportunity for me to lead the team, but like I said, within our group of players we have a number of leaders that we will need throughout this competition.
So there you go, there's the explanation from the man himself. Harmy, we've spoken a lot about what he brings to the table. So I'll tell you what, let's take that one as read, because we kind of touched on that last week. Mm. Let's now talk about what was a bit of a surprise. When the Chennai Super Kings played last week, all of a sudden Sam Curran found himself walking out to the middle to open the batting. MS Dhoni is, of course, a big mover and shaker within the Chennai Super Kings. He's been speaking, as has Trevor Bayliss, about Sam Curran going in at the top of the order.
He's a complete cricketer for us, and you know, you need that seeming all-rounder, and the way he's batting, he strikes the ball nicely. He's somebody who can bat up the order. He plays the spinners well, and you know, he can give us those quick 15 to maybe 35, 40 runs. You know, if we need that momentum, you can push him up, and he's eager to do it. And bowling also, a left-armer is always good to have in the side, especially with the new ball. Batsman is always worried whether the ball will come in or not, how much it will swing, and even the slower one, the fast slower one, becomes more and more effective. I feel as the tournament progresses, he'll get even more comfortable when it comes to death bowling.
Sam, you know, he's a good striker of the ball. When the ball's coming on, so if, you know, a newer ball coming on a little bit, I don't think we bowled particularly well to him there for a couple of overs. But look, he's a good player, and obviously Watson coming in at number three, it's not too different to opening the batting.
So that is Trevor Bayliss and MS Dhoni speaking about Sam Curran. They say no real surprise, but it certainly raised a few eyebrows, Harmy.
It did, yeah, and I quite like it, to be honest. And I think it's another, like I've said many times, I've said it on every show that we've done, this is a great education for Sam Curran as a cricketer. And it can only benefit English cricket, because he's going to come back of sharing a dressing room with the likes of Faf du Plessis, Shane Watson, Mahendra Singh Dhoni, Jadeja. They're good people, good players. So he'll come back a better person, he'll come back a better cricketer. And again, just going in first, he hits the ball cleanly. He hits the ball, he hits the ball airily, but he hits the ball cleanly. And in the first six overs, you're only allowed two fielders out. So he's only really got to get it over the 30-yard circle, and he's in business. So he seems to want to learn. He seems to want to get better. He seems to loves the challenge. So one thing about I love Sam Curran, he loves the challenge of what the IPL brings. He loves the challenge what any situation brings. You look at when he plays for England, the times, and I've mentioned it again numerous times, that I feel as though I struggle to get him in my side. But when he does play, when chips are down and England needs something, it seems to be Sam Curran that gets a wicket with a bouncer, or gets a wicket coming on a change and break a partnership. So, from that point of view, going in first, hitting a clean ball, no matter whether it's spin or it's seam, he'll fancy his chances to get quick runs. And like Mahendra Singh Dhoni there, you're not looking for him to go in and get 100. You're just looking for him to get between 20 and 40 runs off about 15, 20 balls. And that gets the side off and running. What it does, it gives the likes of du Plessis and Watson a little bit more time to get in, because I think that's been Chennai's problem. They've got runs at the top of the order. They just haven't got them quick enough. And I think if Sam does get them off to a good start, it gives them a little bit of a platform.
So Curran's going upwards, but Josh Butler found himself heading down the order for the Royals, as we've already heard in the game that AB de Villiers got 55 in for the RCB. Rajasthan posted 177 for 6. Ben Stokes remained as opener, but it was Robin Utapa who opened alongside him. Samju Samson at 3, Steve Smith at 4, with Josh Butler down at 5, making just under a runnable 24. Smith explained afterwards the decision for Butler to go down the order.
We wanted a bit more experience in the middle with Joss. We obviously know Joss is an amazing opener, but he's also, I think, one of the best at the back end. Just give us a bit more balance to the side. Obviously, Robbie's done a lot of opening, and I thought he played particularly well this afternoon as well. I'd be disappointed he didn't go on with it a bit more, but he got the team off to a good start. And that was the reasoning behind it.
This, in many ways, is Joss Butler's cricketing career in microcosm, isn't it, Steve Harmison? And the fact that, yes, Joss Butler is really good in the middle order, but Joss Butler's also very good at the top of the order. You can make a case for playing him just about anywhere. The guy is so talented. But I feel for him. I want him to find one home and be given a run of games there and actually let him settle down, because they just seem to be constantly chopping and changing with him.
Yeah, and again, it's a little bit of panic for a team who are struggling to find a formula. You know, Rajasthan Royals played 9, 6 points, bottom of the league. They're trying to find a new formula, a new way, a different sort of game plan. It doesn't make sense for me. I hear what Smith's saying. We want some experience down at that sort of middle end, middle to the bottom of the order in the first six batting spots. But I don't mind Robin Otapa going in first. I think he is a good player. I think he is an experienced player. But a lot of IPL cricket in that sort of position. Stokes, I think he has to bat in the top three. So I don't mind Ben staying at number two. I think the experienced one is Steve Smith. And staying at four, I don't understand why Butler's not batting at three and Sanju Samson batting at number five with Tiwati at number six. That looks, for me, like a well-balanced unit. You've still got your best players going in and facing as many balls as you possibly can. But go back to what I've said again many times, the intervention or the thought process of Indian management staff and management team in them possibly meddling from up above, saying we need these young, we need our Indian players to have a chance, and we feel as though he should bat at number three, as in Sanju Samson, then unfortunately somebody has to move and gets put out of place. I actually think in this case, it's Joss Butler. I thought it happened in the RCB game when de Villiers went down the order. It doesn't make sense. So, we'll wait and see what happens in the game this afternoon, because let's face it, losers out. Chennai Super Kings against Rajasthan Royals this afternoon. There's some fantastic players on show. De Plessis, Watson, Dhoni, Curran against Stokes, Archer, Butler, Smith. If all of them are heavily involved, we should, in theory, have a humdinger of a game. But they are sitting 7th and 8th in the table at this moment in time. Chennai with Mumbai and RCB next. You feel as though if CSK can't win this game, then they're out, with Rajasthan playing Sunrisers and Mumbai the next two games. Two very, very difficult games as well. So I think the losers of this game this afternoon will be packing their bags, and as Manas says, will be probably coming out of the bio bubble, because if they're not on the beach and they're stuck on the 34th floor, then it's going to be a long, long 2 weeks for the rest of the IPL when they can't have any chance of getting the semi-finals.
This is the IPL preview show on TalkSport 2.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.